doing? What are we doing? We gotta get going. It's the news you can't lose today.
It is the news you can't lose today. And are you rolling?
I am, of course.
Holy crow, this is the news you can't lose with the Loser Leaves Wrestling crew. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with...
With Jaswal. You almost said it, and I was gonna let you.
I never know what to do, because one of them, I say it for my other things, I say their name, but like I want you to, I don't know,
wait,
you like saying it.
For your other podcasts, you let them say their name? Or no, you say their name for
I say their name, yeah.
And I'm the only one with the ego that's like, no, let me say my name.
No, it's fun for us.
It is
fun. Part of our charm.
It's a different thing, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a different thing. They can't all be the sound the same, though. And thank you so much for listening to Loser Leaves Wrestling, the news you can't lose. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on YouTube. And check out all our fun stuff. And make sure to check out every Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite. We go live on YouTube to discuss it. The woos and whats you all know very well. But this is the news you can't lose. With the news you can't lose from the dates of, what is it? April 11th to April 17th. What? Oh, this is a big week, Moet.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
This is post-WrestleMania week. This is a lot of drama. Let's get started, Bo. I'm going to start with the hottest news. The releases. WWE releases. I'm trying to be good now.
Yeah, I was like, what is this going to be? Marty Jannetty bought a hot dog? What is this one?
No,
but this
is
the big one.
I'm going to try to do the big news and then lower it down.
Good.
I'm going to try to be good like that. The big news is the releases. WWE had their post-WrestleMania releases this week. And there's a laundry list, some very surprising. I'm going to rattle them off. Mickie James. I'm going to ask you, as I'm saying it, you're going to say expected or unexpected? Deal?
Okay.
Mickie James.
Expected.
Yeah, fair. Billy Kay.
Unexpected.
Yeah, very heartbreaking. Kalisto.
Expected.
Expected. Tucker, I have no idea. Oh, is that Tucker for an Otis?
Yeah. Heavy Machinery. Yeah. They announced once, you know, that was the thing. Once they broke up, people were like, Tucker's screwed. Like, they're great
Tucker.
As a team, but he's screwed on his own. And
so expected.
Yeah.
Chelsea Green.
Unexpected.
Yeah. Wasn't she like someone that had high hopes for?
I'm a big fan of hers. I think she's great. She just had a lot of bad luck. She was injured almost like multiple times. Like, pretty much just once she started get going, she would get injured again. Mm-hmm. So it's just super bad luck.
Wesley Blake.
Expected.
I'm not even sure who that is.
No, I don't either. I feel bad for him.
Was that Blake and Murphy?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I don't even remember what he looks like. Bo Dallas.
Expected.
Yeah. Mojo Rawley.
Expected.
Unexpected.
What?
He's friends with, frickin', what's his face? The Gronk.
Yeah.
Why would they get rid of that tether?
And honestly, to go back, I thought Bo Dallas was kind of unexpected too. I actually thought he would be on the payroll forever. Just like, you know, he had, I don't remember the last time he was on TV. He's just getting paid to stay at home. I read that he doesn't even go to catering anymore. He just stays home and he gets paid like a WWE salary. So I thought if he was getting away with that, then he'd just be on for years. So that's,
yeah. I hope he's getting healthy and he's ready for his next stage. Cause I like Bo Dallas.
Oh, he was so good. He was so entertaining. Just like Bray, just like, you know, his brother, but, you know, it happens.
Then we got Peyton Royce.
Unexpected, but expected once I found out Billy Kay was gone.
Yeah, which is a shame. And also Samoa Joe.
Oh my gosh.
Shocker.
Yeah, that one's insane. That guy's a star. He's a star. Yeah.
And as a commentator, he was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, what a waste. Just some positive things to come out of this. The Iconics are going to return.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah, I'm not sure what, probably Impact maybe, or... I don't know.
They would be a perfect fit for AEW. I think they'd be great, and they're obviously very talented with their own characters and building their own thing, because that's what they did. WWE didn't help them with their gimmick. They only hurt them. So, like, having that free reign in an AEW where there could be a women's tag team that's actually, they give time to would be very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, they trust Britt Baker. We've talked about that a bunch of times in the past. So they give her, like, promo time almost every single week. Iconics, you could do the exact same. I would love to see them do a promo every week. That'd be wonderful, and that'd be an easy way to bring in more women on the Ross or on Dynamite every week. It'd be amazing. Yeah,
it would be amazing. But those are the big releases. We wish them all well, and we hope to see some of them back. Some of them. Bless you, Tucker. I haven't seen much of you yet. moving on. We got some hot news, Moet. Mauro Ranallo. Maranalo is going to be announcing the Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann match at Impact Rebellion. That's awesome.
That's huge. Yeah. I think
that's pretty fucking cool.
He's the equivalent of, I remember like JR was announced to do Wrestle Kingdom several years ago. And it's like, it's a big deal. There's not many people on that level as a commentator that I'd get like really excited about. It's a shame he left wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. But especially since he's not just in wrestling. He's like a boxing guy. He did the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's cross brand. Do you think he's going to come back to wrestling?
I don't know. It's weird because he says he's just doing Impact. So, or sorry, he's just doing the main event of Impact. Match, yeah. Yeah. So I'm not sure why he stepped away. I assumed it was like he had a lot of bullying issues and stuff, and it's a very toxic environment in WWE. So I thought maybe that just took him away from all of pro wrestling. So it's really hard to tell. I'm glad he's doing this one off. Maybe they'll accept him in.
And it makes it feel bigger. It makes this match, like, I want to see this match because they're making it feel so big.
Yeah. Anything? Cool. Yeah. I mean, I think, do you think Kenny's going to win it? You get two belts.
I can't imagine
three belts at this point.
I can't imagine him not winning.
Yeah, but then it's like, where is the storyline going to go from there?
Where does any storyline go in AEW, Moe?
Okay, all right, moving on.
We're trying to think big, and unfortunately, AEW thinks real quick, real fast. But I'm excited nonetheless. They know how to build excitement. Mm-hmm. They know how to get you excited about something. Which is good. Now this is going to be the mismatch. Let's talk about some of these things. Jeff Jarrett has a new podcast starting up, Moet. And it's going to be with Conrad Thompson. Conrad Thompson has six podcasts. And honestly, I understand Bruce, because listening to, like, he has a lot of insider information. He's been around so long. He has a pretty good memory, and he's a bold-faced liar. Entertaining. Eric Bischoff, same deal. JR, same deal. Then you're getting into Arn Anderson, who wasn't a part of creative, and he just worked with a few specific wrestlers. And he just doesn't... And honestly, he sounds tired. Then you have Kurt Angle, and he really had... to do with nothing besides his own programs. You know, you could ask him about his own matches, but how long could you have a podcast about that? Right. Yeah. And it's the same with Jeff Jarrett. Well, actually, Jeff Jarrett has some interesting stuff with TNA.
Yeah. Wasn't he booking it at one point or something?
Yeah. He was in charge of it with his father.
Yeah. 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 So you got something there.
I guess Jeff Jarrett's actually not bad. But are you excited about it? Are you going to listen to it, Moe?
Well, so the thing is, I don't really listen to any of those anymore. I used to, and I if they show up on like YouTube, I watch like the clips. So I'm not going to listen to this, to be quite frank. But the thing is, he's got a style, and there is some value to the fact that he's archiving all of these. These legends in wrestling. So I think that is kind of cool that, you know, we'll have this for, you know, he really like dives in like each episode of whatever, WCW or something. And I think that's very cool that we'll
if
have
he
this.
Were to do one with someone, who would you want him to do it with? Who do you want to hear their take on the wrestling business for specific pay-per-views and wrestlers?
Probably someone from like the Attitude Era, just because that's where, you know, what I grew up with. So maybe Taker could be good because he's been, you know,
Taker would be
just very quiet, but over the decades up until recently. Bret Hart, just because I like him, because he's my favorite
Paul
wrestler.
Heyman.
Paul Heyman, yes, that's a good one.
Paul Heyman. He had a thing with Undertaker for a short period before WWE scooped him back up. It was at a Starcade. He had a segment called Dead Man Talking. And he was going to do a big interview segment with Undertaker before WWE pulled him and refused him to participate with Starcade.
Do you know all the names of the podcasts?
Yeah.
What are they? Do they all have silly puns?
Something to Wrestle. Oh, I forgot about Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone has What Happened When, 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff, Grill and JR, The Arn Show, Kurt Angle Podcast. I don't know what Kurt Angle
is. Oh, okay. They're not as cheeky.
No, they're getting lazier and lazier.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Moving on. Just to talk about WrestleMania a little bit, no one knows why The Fiend lost to Randy. Mm-hmm. So if you watch The Fiend versus Randy Orton match, you're probably just as confused as us. We never talked about it, but what are your thoughts on that match?
Oh, such a disappointment. Oh my God. I I was really hoping for a Firefly Funhouse match, even though they didn't promote it that way whatsoever. I was hoping they would do it anyways, because the John Cena one is a work of art from last year. Mm-hmm. It's perfect, I think. Transcends wrestling, but anyways, yeah. That's not what this is about. But I was hoping they would do a similar like deconstruction on Randy Orton's career. So instead, what we got was, and the crowd was so into it. Yeah. They were into him no selling. They were into like everything. So like, it's just baffling that they would end it on such a dumb note that they didn't explain either. They barely explained it.
And they already got rid of the burn mask. Mm-hmm. They got rid of everything. Like, it feels like they. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And of all people, Bray Wyatt, whenever he makes a big return, he loses.
Yeah.
Every time he makes a big return, he loses for some reason.
He's a gem.
Why would they do that?
He's a gem, but he gets the, I don't know, this is maybe the fourth time that he's done this, where he's built a character that's destined to fail from scratch and turns it into one of the biggest deals in WWE, and then they destroy him from the start.
Shame like on WWE.
Yeah, the Firefly Funhouse thing, like, that's sort of lame on paper, but he made it really fascinating. And then even where they took it for the last couple weeks with the this like slasher killer Friday the 13th, like undead zombie, I guess, burnt victim. Kind of lame, but he made it so cool. Like, his entrance when he popped out of the box, while it's like kind of cheesy and ridiculous that there's a giant fucking box, it was incredible. Like,
it was amazing.
Oh, man, really taking in the moment. It was great. That was the best part of the match.
And I guess they're breaking up him and Alexa Bliss. They're saying that she betrayed him or
yeah,
something
she's
like
trying
that?
To be Sister Abigail, or there's some sort of, I don't know. I guess it was a crown of thorns that just like bled black blood or something. That was a very, very cool visual. It was incredible. I just wish something more came out of it.
I wish he didn't lose to that. You know, I wish he won and then that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they just do that?
I don't know. They just didn't have a plan.
They have so many choices. But either way, moving on. This is something that I put in just for you, Moet. Lance Storm needed to turn off the WrestleMania because of too many camera angles that made him dizzy. Because
of the filmmaker side.
Yeah. Yeah. he was watching the main event, which was a great main event. Mm-hmm. An amazing main event. And he got too dizzy from it. And I know that you hate those camera angles.
Yeah.
You hate those camera angles.
Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started. Yeah. I had to, I would just have to stare at my phone at certain points during the whole pay-per-view. I'm like, this is just too much what they're doing. Every motion, they cut to a different camera angle. AEW does it too. They just do it, you know, maybe half as much, but it's still quite a lot.
What's their thought process there, Moet? Why are they doing this?
To hide potential flaws in case there's a botch that it doesn't look as bad. And sometimes it actually does help, but... And then also to add a sense of drama, to add like to make it feel more intense than it actually is. Like a lot of the if someone gets hit with a chair, the camera moves with the chair up and down with the chair. Mm. You know, the very nauseating kind of seasick quality to it. And I think that those are the reasons. But the thing is, with pro wrestling, you don't need that.
You don't.
The exciting thing about it is that they're trained to do it live in front of you, you know? Mm-hmm. New Japan is the best, absolute best at just creating a sports-like presentation. Mm-hmm. It feels real in New Japan because you see it all happening in front of you. And they put a lot of trust into those performers.
I also like how they shoot it. They shoot it from ringside. You know, they shoot it from ringside. You feel like you're there. You know, and they have a hard camera too, of course, but the shooter rings out. Nobody's getting up on the turnbuckles. There's no real fancy things. There may be three cameras set up, and I really like it. Moving on, we can't have that happen anymore, but not to Lance Storm. Jazz will retire in a retirement ceremony on Impact. I feel like I said this months ago, and she's still wrestling, apparently, but bless her.
Yeah.
Bless her.
Yeah, I remember you did this already. You asked me what my favorite Jazz moment was, and I was like, I don't know.
What's your favorite Jazz moment now, Moet?
Oh, for
now
sure.
That you had time to think about it.
The time she retired from Impact Wrestling, that's going to be one of my favorite moments that
You're
I can
being
remember.
Silly.
I don't remember
You're being
any,
absolutely
any,
silly.
Anything.
Well, I got to move on from that. CM Punk does an interview. He picks his biggest potential opponents in both of the two major ones. And did you read this, Moet?
No, I didn't. This is exciting because I like CM Punk.
Who would you think his biggest opponent that he would want to wrestle most in AEW would be?
Kenny Omega.
Yeah, excellent choice. Obviously, it's the biggest person in the company. He's not Now, where in WWE? Who in WWE?
Otis? No. Daniel Bryan? I don't know.
No, Triple H.
Triple H. Triple H? What? Yeah. That is a shocker.
He's like, that's the biggest money.
Ah, the big money one. Yeah, because you got a story right there.
You Triple H huge is a, story, is a professional. Big name.
He would wrestle him without any shenanigans.
And I would love to watch that match.
Yeah.
I'd love to watch any CM Punk match. If he makes a return.
He's old now, though. He said he's too old to really get back in on a real way,
Yeah, but he's just as old as Daniel Bryan, and he could still, he's in good shape. It's not like he's in bad shape. I don't want him to do a full career, but, you know, he could definitely come back for a one-off. Yeah. He's healthy enough. And last piece of news I've got today, Moa, last piece. Ivelisse is no longer with AEW. Mm-hmm. She claims it's because she spoke out against mistreatment, and that Thunder Rosa was slandering her name in AEW. They obviously have some bad blood from years ago, but this isn't the first time that Ivelisse has spoken out about people. She spoke out about Bill DeMott when she was in FCW, and then spoke out at Lucha Underground for mistreatment, and now she's doing it here. What's your take on all this, Moa?
Yeah, I tend to believe everybody else in this case, which is probably the worst thing to say, is to believe all women. I don't know. Well, no, that has nothing to do with this.
Well, that has nothing to do with
it. I just felt weird about it, but
he's obviously... I'm glad she speaks out about mistreatment, but there's enough women in the locker room that are like, she's bad news in the locker room.
Yeah, I regret saying the last thing. I was just trying to say a joke, but she had a match with Thunder Rosa where she wasn't cooperating with her, and there's all these clips online where you could see like Thunder Rosa like forcing, you know, her into these positions and the moves, and it just feels so like amateur. It's ridiculous.
It's shitty.
Yeah.
And real shitty.
So it just seems like to be a reoccurring pattern with her. So I don't know. I'm not
and
surprised.
And I like Ivelisse.
She was great.
I like Ivelisse a lot. And it's overall, a shame that, I loved her with Son of Havoc. And I just wish better things for her. And I wish she, I don't know. I don't know her, so I can't say. But I wish her best. Right, Moa?
Yeah. Oh, I guess. I wish her to get better and, you know, to kind of own up to her mistakes and, you know, not blame everyone else, basically. But yeah. I agree.
Well.
There's exciting news in GCW. I don't know.
What do you got?
For WrestleMania week, they do this really big, long program. Pretty much, I don't know, like, I want to say 3 or 4 shows per day for the whole week leading up. Super fun. But in their big, in the Joey Janela's spring break, or it was actually Ricky Page, Shane Page, RSP's spring break. But, sure. Nick Gage won the title in a big, like, multi-year long feud. He won the title for the company, and then Jon Moxley came out to challenge him.
I saw pictures of this. I guess I didn't follow it up. And so did he win?
No, he's challenging him for, like, he just came out for a stare down. But the stare down was amazing.
It was a cool stare down. Yeah. I saw the picture of it, and I didn't add it up.
Yeah, Nick Gage is amazing. And, yeah, he was already bloodied up, and he just had this, he just looked so ferocious, you know. And just going against Moxley, who's got this big star power, like, I'm very excited to see that feud. Moxley wrestled that week at Bloodsport. Against what's the name of that guy? Josh Barnett.
Mm-hmm. How was that? Did you see it?
That one was great too. That one was fantastic. There's a lot of.
I haven't seen a single Bloodsport thing yet.
It's hit or miss because it's such an experimental show, but it only happens like once. So the show is it's like Bloodsport the movie, essentially. Yeah. It's just it's a match without any ring ropes. So it's supposed to be like the pure sport of wrestling is like their gimmick basically. So it's a lot of grappling based stuff.
I would love that. That's right up my alley.
So, it doesn't always work, but when it does, it's super fascinating. And, the Moxley-Barnett one is really good. Yeah.
I got to check it out. We all got to check it out. Support wrestling all over, not just the main ones. But that's been it. That's all the news I got. I got some bullshit news that Viking Raiders return, Charlotte's return to, Mason T-Bar and the Hurt Business now, apparently. But I don't care enough to talk about those things because I don't watch WWE that much.
No. I don't either. Nah. I don't either. So, sorry if anyone wanted to learn
deuces.
About that.
I just said the news. Yeah. And now it's over, and now we got the mailbag with Moet and his dirty, dirty mailbag.
How exciting.
Here we go.
This is going to be fun. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm born ready.
We got someone from Texas. Look at that. Okay. I'm from Texas. That's fun. John B. from Sweetwater, Texas says, What's up? What are the top three wrestling books to read?
Okay. Hmm.
Well, I know what both of us are going to say. We got to say Mick Foley's first book.
Have a Nice Day.
Have a Nice Day. Yeah.
I would put Bret Hart's book in there.
You like Bret Hart's book?
Have you read Bret Hart's book?
No, but I know you've told me about it.
It's a good tell-all. Like it. It's a good tell-all. And
there's one that I really like that is kind of a left field one. It's called I think it's called The Squared Circle by David Shoemaker.
I love that book.
You read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's it's very sad. It's tragic because the whole thing was mostly like. Almost like obituaries eulogies almost like of these really popular wrestlers from the 80s, 70s, 80s that died tragically young. Like there was like a horrible thing where they would all die before they turned 40 or something. So he's just doing them, but his prose, his writing style is really incredible. I mean, he paints them up to be like Greek gods the way he writes, and it's beautiful. So it's, I definitely recommend that one.
Definitely as well. Ric Flair's book is very saucy. If you're looking for goss, if you're looking for wrestling goss or someone just to rip people apart, Ric Flair does a good job of doing that. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't agree with a lot of the things he says, I do enjoy seeing that dirt.
Nice. I haven't read that one either.
Anyone else off the top of the head?
Wrestle Crap. That's always fun.
Oh, Wrestle Crap. Silly, the Wrestle Crap book.
Silly comedy.
Or The Death of WCW?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Well, that one too. Yeah, I just read that one recently. It's weird now because there's YouTube and you can just type in, you know, Yeti, WCW or Shockmaster and see some silly stuff. But like, I don't know, when I first started reading Wrestle Crap, I don't know, maybe it was 2000 or something or 99 or something like that. You know, YouTube didn't exist. So I just had this book can you believe this thing happened in wrestling? And it was so exciting, you know, to like really do that research and dig into it.
It was pretty great. I remember going to their website and just seeing the stills that they grab, and they tell the story through stills.
Yes.
And I was just amazed by that. It was one of my favorite things to I think they uploaded twice a week or something like that, and I remember being blown away.
Yeah, that was one
really
of
great work.
Yeah.
J.D. Reynolds, right?
Yes. Or R.D. Reynolds.
R.D. Reynolds. Great job. All right.
Well, that was
excellent
fun.
Excellent question, John B.
Yeah. All right. So next one, we got C.T.? CT from Indianapolis?
Are you asking me?
Yes, I am. CT?
CT. Sure, I believe.
CT. Okay. Well, because it's C-T-E-E. So I'm just wondering if there's...
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Very
There's something I'm missing
pseudonym.
This time. Okay, just a fun one. Just a fun one.
Just a fun one.
Salutations, CT says. Which wrestler looks most like a Pokemon? Wow, what a fun question. Name the wrestler and the Pokemon.
That's fair.
I mean, Brian Cage and Machamp, isn't that one?
Oh, I was gonna say Brock Lesnar and Machamp.
Oh, that one's good too.
Right.
That one's probably better.
But Brian Cage, his face, you're right. Wow, his face looks exactly like Machamp. That's a really good one. I can't think of any other wrestlers that look like Pokemon, honestly, right now.
But that's a very silly question. That's so fun.
Good job.
Who looks like, I don't know. Let's think. I want to give a good one.
Luke Gallows' face looks like Magikarp.
What? Luke Gallows. Oh, Luke Gallows.
Yeah.
Yes, I 100% see that. I'm looking it up right now.
He's got a big dumb face. He looks like a fish.
He does look like a fish. What a dumb fish. Okay, well, that was fun, CT. I hope you were, you enjoyed that. I'd say we move on because we can't think of anything else. That was pretty good.
There's
no way. Mikhail from St. Petersburg, Russia.
Russia? Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say hello in Russian.
I was going to say Guten Tag, but that's German.
Yeah.
Anyways, greetings. Pick two different wrestlers from two different eras and make a team. Sorry, Mikhail, I don't think, but understandably, maybe not their English the first. There's a lot of time.
Or maybe they didn't look to proofread it after.
Yeah, it just took me a second. I apologize.
It's probably poorly worded.
Poorly.
Yeah, I bet Mikhail's pretty tired being at St. Petersburg.
So yeah, different time zones too for our podcast. I can't imagine how early they must be up listening to us. Pick two different wrestlers from two different eras and make a team, please and thank you. Just make a team from two different wrestlers.
Like a cool team.
Just make a cool team from two wrestlers randomly. Okay.
Terry Funk and John Moxley.
That's good. That's good.
That seemed like a good wild brawly team.
Samoa Joe and Ricochet. Oh, two different eras. I'm just thinking like a big guy and athletic guy. I always get that team up.
I do too. I like the Kaz and Moray.
Yeah, I liked. I'm a big fan of wrestling. Like, what's the name in NXT right now? Killian Dane and Drake Maverick is his name.
I love that. Are they still a team now?
They are. Well, as of a couple weeks ago when I last watched NXT Takeover, I remember when they
were first doing it. I loved it.
Yeah, they're still doing it, at least since then. The theme song is still super funny. He's doing like a Milhouse. Or no, not Milhouse, the other Simpsons character.
I know who you're talking about. What's his name? Princeton? Martin.
Martin. Yeah, he's doing a Martin. Where he just like skips around Killian Dane. And then eventually Dane just gets frustrated and uses him as a weapon, just like chucking him at the opponents. And that always cracks me up.
They do what is that? Chaos Society, Chaos Theory. What is the team with Luther and the other guy in AEW?
Chaos Theory?
Chaos Theory. Yeah. Chaos Revolution or whatever. Chaos Dungeon. Chaos Murder. I don't know. But they're doing that gimmick better. I like when Killian Dane throws around Jake Maverick.
Yeah, they do that too. Yeah. Both are funny. Both are good.
But
That's it. That's it. We got through it, Red. We did it.
I think we did a great job.
Thank you, Mikhail.
I think we did an excellent job. And this has been Loser Lose Wrestling, the news you can't lose. Don't lose it. Don't lose it anywhere. Make sure to follow us on all the platforms. Your podcast, review us. Please, God, review us. And send us your email to loserleasepod@gmail.com. And don't forget go to YouTube too. Make sure to go to YouTube. You gotta check out YouTube, right, Moa?
Of course, you have to check it.
I don't know if you ever heard about YouTube, but you gotta check it out. And thank you all so much for listening. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with
Moa Jaswal.
Moa Jaswal, if you were under the sea, what sea creature would you marry?
Would I marry? Oh.
Yeah, like propose to. You gotta hurry, Moa.
Oh, an octopus, 100%. Look how many, excellent it's choice. So useful.
Look behind you. There's an octopus behind you.
Oh, there really is, but nobody knows question. That because it's excellent a podcast. Job.
What a great time.
Big painting of an octopus. Okay, goodbye.